please speak to us. Please speak through us. Please bless your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. There is a trend in many workplaces today. Oh, by the way, I want the ushers to go downstairs. If you see anybody in the, except the ushers who are supposed to be downstairs, I want everybody to be upstairs because I want everybody to hear what I have to say. I was talking about a trend in many workplaces today. And I believe we are all familiar with the trend. It used not to be, but in the past, maybe 10 years, it's become a common trend. You notice that in most places, employees now have to wear a name tag on the job. Either they wear it as a chain around the neck or as a clip to the front pocket of whatever they're wearing. These name tags are worn for the purpose of identification. The person wearing the name tag is essentially introducing himself or herself and saying, I am Janet Woody, or I am Mike Holloway. A total stranger can walk up to these employees and call them by their first names or call them by their last name. And in some cases, even be able to call them by their position in the office. Name tags have come to stay in most workplaces. As a matter of fact, we used to have name tags here at Fresh Anointing. This morning, I want to talk to you about a particular name tag that I see one in many churches all over the place. As I travel to different places in the United States and different places overseas, I see church people everywhere wearing this name tag. I have been the pastor of this church for some time. And over the years, week after week, I have seen many of you put on the same name tag that I'm talking about this morning. As a matter of fact, this morning, if you have eyes to see, some of you who are listening to me, I can see the name tags around your neck. The surprising thing to me this morning is that the name I see on these name tags are the same. Unlike in secular offices where names are different, the ones that I see worn in the church have the same names written on them. I see this on men, and I see it on women also. I see it on adults, and I see it on children. These tags have introduced ministers in churches to me. And they have also introduced lay members to me also. I see them worn by the choir, and I see them worn by the ushers. I also see them won by other workers in the churches. The name that I see on these name tags is the focus of my sermon this morning. Lend me your ears. In Africa, we don't say, lend me your ears. In my tribe, when someone loves you so much and wants to tell you something that is very serious and very important and for your good, he doesn't say, lend me your ears. He says, let me pull your ears. I want you to allow me this morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as it were, to pull your ear and tell you about a name tag that I have seen won and that I have seen introducing many Christians I have come across all over the world. In introducing the people that wear them, the name tag that I see everywhere reads this: I am a Christian atheist. I am a Christian atheist. I know that name comes to some of you as a surprise. I can see some of you looking at your friends sitting beside you and saying, what did he say? A Christian? Atheist? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We all know who a Christian is. And we all know who an atheist is. Simply defined, a Christian is one who believes in God, the God of the Bible. That's who a Christian is. While an atheist is one who does not believe in the God of the Bible. Consequently, the combination of those two names is kind of confusing. But unfortunately, these days, for the majority of Christians, the distance between Christians and atheists is a lot closer than we would like to admit. Who is a Christian atheist? Simply defined, a Christian atheist, hear me, is someone who believes in the God of the Bible, but lives as if he does not exist. At the risk of sounding redundant, I'd like to repeat myself. Simply defined, a Christian atheist is someone who believes in the God of the Bible. I'm a Christian, but he lives as if God does not exist. He is one who believes in the God who has rules, laws, and standards, but he lives as if he's above the law. He lives as if he's governed only by his own set rules and standards. A Christian atheist is one who believes that Jesus is Lord, but will never allow Jesus to lord it over him. A Christian atheist is a man who believes you cannot get to heaven but by the straight a narrow road, but he follows his own ways. Folks, the church is full of them. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church universal. Unfortunately, including Fresh Anointing too. The church is full of Christian atheists who believe that God exists, but they live as if he doesn't exist. Consequently, because they live as if God does not exist, they live as if God sees nothing. They live as if God knows nothing. They live as if God can do nothing. After all, the one who doesn't exist cannot hold them accountable for what they do and for what they don't do. My question this morning is this. Are you a Christian atheist? Are you a Christian atheist? And I've asked myself this question many times. Am I a real Christian? Or am I a Christian atheist? Do I believe that God exists? But do I live as if it doesn't exist? All you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to recall in your mind the last 6 months, maybe even the last 6 weeks. Replay where you have been. Replay what you have said. Replay what you have touched. Replay what you have done. Replay what you have watched. Replay who has touched you. And it should not be difficult to help you determine whether you are a Christian atheist or not. You believe God exists, so we can say you're a Christian, especially the God of the Bible. But you do your own thing and live as if he does not exist, then you are an atheist. Because that's who atheists are. They live as if God is not in existence. But now we are able to combine the two titles, the Christian atheist. You know, the things we dare not do in the natural, we do it in the spiritual. Some things we don't dare do when we deal with men, we do it when we deal with God. Have you ever? I said, have you ever seen a school teacher who conducts school work as if the school principal does not exist? Have you ever seen a school principal who conducts school work as if the school superintendent does not exist? Have you ever seen a soldier who ignores orders from the commander and lives as if there is no commander over him? Many Christians are commanding their own selves. They have become cafeteria Christians. That's who the atheists are. Have you ever been to a cafeteria? The first thing they do is give you the menu. Pick the one you want, and we will serve you. And you say, yes, I want this. Yes, I want that. That one I don't want. That one I don't want. Christian in the cafeteria. Hey, have you ever seen an airplane pilot who flies with total disregard of the control tower. He's looking for trouble. But is that not how we live our Christian lives? We fly as if there is no one that we are subject to. Have you ever seen a policeman in the New York Police Department who disregards the commissioner of police? There is order in the world, but there is no order when it comes to dealing with the great I am. Look, I've been around the Christian faith for a few weeks and for a few years, and I can tell you, it's getting worse and worse and worse. We are breeding a bunch of Christian atheists who believe God exists, but they leave us if he doesn't exist. I said, have you seen a church worker who acts as if there's no pastor over him? Oh, hold on. That's a mistake. Take that one from the list. Take that one from the list. Because I've seen church workers who conduct work as if the pastor does not exist. I've seen choir members conduct ministry as if the choir master does not exist. I've seen ushers conduct ministry as if the head usher does not exist. I've been guilty of that too. So let's take that one out so I don't feel too bad this morning. I was a member of the Assemblies of God Church. I was a fervent church worker. So my pastor picked me. And he said, you be in charge of, if you have ever been in the Assemblies of God Church, there's something they call Christ Ambassadors. So you be in charge of the Christ Ambassadors. It was the youth wing of the church. And with the fervency of my youthfulness, I took over the youth wing and were on fire for God. Then Deeper Christian Life Ministry began 1974. And they started having Bible studies all over the place, and they taught Bible. So I joined them. We will go there on Monday, we'll go there on Thursday, and then we'll come to church on Sunday, and I'll be the head of the Christ Ambassadors. And then on Sundays, we met from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then we went back to our churches to serve. So I told my Bible study leader in Deeper Christian Life Ministry, I said, sir, I'm the head of the Christ Ambassadors group. And we meet after the service every Sunday. So I will always be late for the meeting. He said, that's fine. He said, that's okay. He said, you have a commitment there. Just come in. We understand why you are late. So I did that for some time until my pastor did something. Honestly, I don't remember what pastor did, but it got me mad. So I just told all the youths in the Christ Ambassadors, I said, meeting suspended. They said, why? I said, I don't discuss things like that. Because I didn't want to bring my pastor. I said, meeting suspended until further notice. So I began to go now to the Bible study in the Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. I was there for 3 weeks. Then my Bible study leader looked at me. I said, Itiola? I said, yes, sir. He said, for 3 weeks now, I've been seeing you here. I said, yes, sir. He said, what about the Christ ambassadors in your church? Oh. I said, sir, it's suspended until further notice. Oh. He said, that's interesting. He said, what did your pastor say when it was suspended? I said, he even thought it was my pastor that suspended it. I said, no. I said, I'm the one in charge. He looked at me and he opened his mouth at it. Itiola. Itiola. He said, you suspended the meeting. I said, I called all of them and I said, he suspended till further notice. He said, and your pastor, you didn't even check with him before you did? I said, nope. He said, and you did not... He was so shocked. I was shocked that he was shocked. He said, dress up. I said, dress up. He said, yes. He said, we are going to your pastor. Said Mugbe. I said, dress up, let's go to your pastor. Before I realized we were in the taxi. And then we knocked on the pastor's door. The problem is they look at us in Deeper Christian Life Ministry in those days like troublemakers. So my pastor was really shocked that the people they call troublemakers have brought an ignorant, overzealous youth to him. So we sat down in his one bedroom. He was a bachelor. We sat down there. And my Bible study leader looked at him and said, man of God, is it true that this man summarily canceled the meeting with the Christ ambassadors in the church? The pastor spoke broken English. He said, now so we see him who? Now so we see him means, that's how we see it who. And he said, sir, did he tell you before he did it? He said, as other people had. He said, it was the parents that came to me and asked me, why did I cancel? I said, I didn't cancel anything. Then he said, Itiola, so what you told me is the truth? He said, yes. I said, yes. He put Bible, because Deeper Christian Life means everything is Bible. So he said, open Hebrews. I said, we pass Genesis, we pass. We pass Genesis, we pass Psalms, we pass Proverbs. We're in Hebrews. Hebrews is the pronunciation is trouble. This was the first time I saw the scripture. He opened Hebrews 13:17. You don't have to open it because it's. He said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves for the watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable for you. Now, the last part is what killed me. When he said, this is unprofitable. I said, you mean the unilateral cancellation that I did is trouble for me? Not only with this man. It's even more trouble because this man did not talk. Pastor Akin means his name. Cool guy. He never said anything. He was just going on his own way. He said it's unprofitable. I said it's unprofitable. I just fell on my face. As tall as I was. Fell flat on my face and held my pastor's hand. And said it's youthful exuberance. It's youthful exuberance. Now, my pastor was shocked at my reaction because I started crying profusely. And I held to his hand, to his legs. And the pastor said something. He said, "You've turned me into a figurehead." And that's what broke me. He said, "You turned me into a figurehead." He said, "I know you work in the bank. I know you make more money than me. I know you can speak better English than me. I know your tithe is one of the best in this church. So I don't know what made you do what you did." He said, "But I've gone to God." Oh, I said, "Yeah, you've been there?" I said, "He's gone to God." I said, "Pastor, you shouldn't have gone to God. You should have gone to me." Because the Bible says, if you offend somebody and somebody offends you, you go to them. He said, "I've gone to God and I've asked God, 'God, what did I do? God, what is my offense? Is it because of the book I don't know? Or is it because I'm a quiet person and I don't fight? That this man that I trusted and I gave, were about 35 young people, and he just unilaterally told them, at least he should have come to me and say, 'Okay, oh, this for this reason, for this reason.' And if I've been wrong, I would have apologized to him. And if it is that he's going somewhere, I would have found a replacement." He just walked away. He said, I kept quiet because I don't want to lose him. And my pastor is easy. But my Bible study leader is not easy. He looked at me. Then he said, if I feel like putting my leg on your neck, seriously. And I just cried and cried and cried. And Pastor Akinwumi looked at me and said, get up. I wasn't expecting a reaction like this. But that you are as broken as you are, you are forgiven. And I will go back to God. And I'll go and tell God that he should overlook it. You know what? Many of you need to fall on your faces before God this morning. As it were, hold on to the horns of the altar and say, "God, I've treated you as if you are God, but I've treated you as if you don't exist. Seriously. By my actions, by my words, by my deeds, I've acted as if you are not in existence." Is God a figurehead or a head figure in your life? Or is he the one that calls the shots? Ask those who have been in the faith in the 60s, in the 70s. They will tell you that Christianity today has become something else. The way we used to fear God, the way we used to tremble, the way we... that one is finished over. People just do anything. See, God doesn't amount to anything. You can do it to your pastor and get away with it, but you can't do it to God. Look, God is God. In him you live, in him you breathe, in him you have your being. You are fortunate I am not God. And you are fortunate the person living beside you is not God. Because the things God takes from us. He feeds us. He clothes us. Everything we do, we depend on him. And then we begin to act as if he does not exist. Who are you? That is one songwriter in Nigeria asks. Who are you, Ray? Who are you? Who do you think you are? That God says he's the omnipotent one. The maker of the heaven and earth. And you live as if he doesn't exist. You are playing with danger. You've never seen God angry, may you never see him angry. Because what I fear about God is, just like Josephine is sitting down now, she changed the posture. God will just look at you like this. He won't say anything until you finally get to the point of no return. And then prayer will not solve the problem. You know, I was reading about Eli yesterday and he scared me to death. Ah! He called Samuel and said, Samuel, come. He said, look at Eli.
Jesus.
He said, I've rejected him. Because his sons, they did wrong. And he did not restrain them. That is not the thing that scared me. He said, no amount of sacrifice. Ah, turn to somebody and tell them, may God never be angry with you. Ah, he said, no amount of sacrifice will purge the sin of his family. He said, no amount, and that's when God proves to you that he exists. And you know what is so stupid? Eli said, he's God. He said, he's God. Let him do as he pleases. Instead of falling on your face, grabbing the horns of the altar and say, God, I will not let you go until you reverse this judgment. I read the scriptures over and over and over and over again. And I find out that God hates Christian atheism. Let me show you a few scriptures. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. Just the first part of that scripture, not the whole scripture. Titus chapter 1 in verse 16. I'm going to read the King James and then I will read another passage of scripture there. Titus 1:16. They profess, see that? That they know God. What does the next statement say? But in works, they deny him. Those are the Christian atheists. They believe in the existence of God. They are not atheists. But they live as if God does not exist. They are atheists. But I like what the message, the Bible in contemporary language of Titus 1:16 says. This is scary. It says, they say, hear this now, that they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words. Ah, folks, by him actions are weighed. Many other scriptures show how common this epidemic is today. You remember Luke 6:46? Remember what it says? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? They know what he says, and they believe he has a right to say it, but they say that's his own. They know what it says about forgiveness. They know what it says about tithing. They know what it says about modesty. They know what it says about church attendance. They know what it says about husband and wife relationship. And they say, he's Lord, he's Lord, he's Lord. But then, what the Lord says, they don't do it. Just like atheists. They don't believe God exists. So, they are not under any obligation to do what anything he says. They do their own thing. We used to have a lady live next door to us in Alabama. We used to live at 4628F, Imsbury Drive, Montgomery, Alabama, 36117. Telephone number 205. What's it, Lem? All right. Our next door neighbor, is a young lady. This lady was having some problems. And so she decided to take the law into her hands. You know, my wife will talk to you. So my wife called her. Said, you're like, why are you living like this? Don't you know what the Bible says? She said, I know what the Bible says, but that one is Bible. My wife said, that one is Bible. You mean you're above that? said, in this situation, forget about it. I'm not going to do what the Bible says. That's an atheist. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you look at the whole thing and you say, I will do my own thing? One of our brothers was deported from New York. No, he wasn't deported. He went to Nigeria. And he couldn't come back. He was there for a long time, for years. One day we were having church like this. And I just saw him on the front row. I said, is this a ghost? Or brother so-and-so? It was him. After the service, he came to me. You are back? He said, yes. Then I made a mistake. How did you make it back? Don't ask people questions. Please, you are making a big mistake asking people questions. They are back? Mm-hmm. Whether they came through Mexico or they came in the bottom of a ship, it's none of your business. They are back? They are back. But I made a mistake. I said, we've been praying for you. How did you? I said, God has answered your prayers. It's a lie. God did not answer our prayers. He said he told God that I've been here for X number of years. If you don't do something by this particular month, I will do something else. And the something will not be good. It will contradict your word. But then it will be your fault. Because you are the one who did not do what I asked you to do. When he told me how he did it, I wanted to take Holy Communion immediately. You call me Lord, Lord. That sounds like Christian. But the thing that I say, you don't do it. That sounds like an atheist. Let me give you more scriptures. Ezekiel 33. 31 and 32. Ezekiel 33. 31 and 32. Christian atheism is all over the place. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. What's the next statement? They won't do them. They're just wasting your time. For with their mouth they show much love. Hey, the church is filled with people whose only mouth religion they have. I almost said God is my witness. The church is filled with people they will come here on Sunday, look like a Christian, and live here and go and curse people out. I'm talking about real curse. Not the your head, your eye, oh. Real curse. Somebody came to this church one day and saw somebody else in this church. This person came for the first time and saw another person. I said, oh, so and so comes to this church. Oh, I didn't even know this person is a Christian. That speaks volumes. He said, they come as a people, they sit as a people, but you can waste your saliva. You can waste your energy. The Bible says they will not do them for their mouth. With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. When I go to Africa, I see it. Yay! I see it. They'll come to you. They know how to pray. Oh, man of God, the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. You will go from strength to strength. You will never be weak. You will never be tired. You will never see failure. And you see people like that. They will even put hand in the pocket. Take 50,000. But when you hear what they do, they are Christian. They are atheists. This sermon, me, I don't come here to preach without preaching to myself first of all. I've weighed myself in the balances before I come standing before you this morning. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite who comes here and tells you to do something and gives you a standard to follow. But I follow my own standard. Then he goes on. He didn't stop there. If he had stopped there, it would have been okay. But he went on. He said, and lo, verse 32. Thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Hey, Malachi, that book that you dread because of chapter 3. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Chapter 1, the 6th verse. A son does what? Honoreth his father. Is that not the way it's supposed to be? That's the way it's supposed to be. If you want to live long. Hey! If you want to live long on this earth, sons must honor their father. Now translate that to God. Why are believers dying young? Why are the number of our days being cut short? Because we dishonor the Heavenly Father. God told Solomon, he said, you will live long if you follow the way your daddy went. But he did not. He died at 60-something years old. It's a waste of time praying for somebody that you will not die young. It is your life that will determine whether you live long or die young. His son honoreth his father. What does he say after that? A servant, his master. Those of you who are raised in America, you never understand that scripture. Those of us from Africa, that we understand servanthood and mastership, we understand. Yes, sir. Even if he doesn't mean it, he has to honor him. Like a policeman honors the commissioner. Like the soldier sees a senior soldier and he salutes him, whether he likes it or not. Then God asks a question. Seriously, what was the question? If then I be a father, what's the next question? Where is my honor? This is God. Oh, if I be a father, where is my, show me my honor if I be your father. You're an atheist. You're a bastard. That's what God is saying. So you're a bastard. You are not my son. Because sons honor their fathers. If I be a master, where is my fear? Huh? Where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name, and ye, they even dare ask, wherein have we despised thy name? 2 Kings 17, verse 33. I got 15 more minutes. I don't want to go over time because of the children. 2 Kings 17, 33. I was reading this today. Man, a few weeks ago. 2 Kings 17, verse 33. This is one of the most interesting scriptures in the Bible. 2 Kings 17, 33. Christian atheist. The one that believes God exists. And he lives as if God does not exist. 2 Kings 17, 33. You all there? Look at what it says. Let's read it together to be sure you are there. Let's go. Go. They feared the Lord and served their own God. Stop right there. Does that sound like Christian atheists? They feared God, but they served their own idols after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Look at worldliness in the church. We are like them. They are like us. There's no difference. What in the world will make a person say, I fear God? And while he's saying, I fear God, he's still serving his own idol. That sounds like the religion we practiced before we got saved, though. And we used to sing a song in my village. Eh? That, you are singing it. That Christianity does not say, thank you, we must not serve our family idol. Then we will say, I will serve my family idol, oh. I will serve my family idol, oh. Because Christianity does not say, I must not serve my family idol. So in the night, we'll take the deity of one God. It's made of stick. And then we tie rope around it. And then we begin to zzz, and then the woman, they want to come out. And then we start singing, Father, take death away. Take sickness away. Don't let anything happen to your children. It's the woo, woo, woo. That's the one we are singing to. It is. And then on Sunday morning, we wear the cassock. And then we'll carry the stick. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God looks down from heaven. God is a good God. God is a merciful God, though. Yeah. These were the people that were saying, Father, take sickness, take disease. And then they are coming to church on Sunday. And then when we get to the altar, it's stick and chair. And maybe even voodoo under the table that is on it. Then we go like this. The woman would do like this. And the man would do like this. Mad people. Seriously mad people. They feared God. And then we have this masquerade thing. Call it masquerade. We go to church on Sunday. But then there is every January, in the heat, there is the masquerade season where you put on this garment. The person that is looking at you doesn't know who you are. You are like a clown, but it's worse than a clown. And then you put the idol on your head like this. And then you put stick in your hand. And you say, Raji, give me money. Akiyemi, where is cash? Coal. If you don't give me money, I will eat you. I'm from heaven. It's from hell. And then we take stick in the hand and beat everybody up. And I remember we were going to the sanctuary where they dress up. We went into the sanctuary one day, and some old men were saying, drive these boys out. And the community leader said, oh no, don't drive them out. Oh. They are going to be the next people who will be carrying this thing. And I'm the son of a lay reader. And then on Sunday, we carry this thing. Amazing grace. The voice has changed from amazing grace. Double life. I have illustrated that point in a ridiculous way, but I hope you get it. Get out of the double life. Make up your mind. If God be God, I will serve him. I will follow him. I will live for him. I will not serve him and serve my own gods. I will not serve him and do my own thing. He is master. He is Lord. And I will show him that I respect him. Rise upon your feet. Let me stop. Hey! Hey! I've not finished my sermon, but I'll stop here. I don't even know how to close this sermon. I don't know how to close it. But I want you to turn where you are into an altar this afternoon. Honestly, all you have to do is look at yourself. Nobody needs to examine you. Just look at yourself. I examined myself with this sermon. And I saw some atheism even in me, the pastor of this church. And I saw some of you shedding tears as I progressed in preaching. Look, he must be the Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Rakayode and his crew, I'd like for you to please come. We're going to sing that song. He's Lord. He's Lord. He has risen from the dead. And he's Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus. Hey, it's Lord. Whatever it is that is making you live anyhow as if God does not exist, he must die this morning. Seriously, whatever it is that is making you do your own thing. They say, come to church. You say, today I'm resting. And God is looking at you. And God, suppose I don't let you rest. Look, this God is good. You are taking my God for granted. But today we want to surrender to him.
Hey! He has risen.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah. surrender all to Thee.
For myself and for these men and women, boys and girls, Father, break us, melt us, and then remold us into images that reflect heaven. Lord, where we have disappointed you, we pray that you forgive us. Where we have strayed away to do our own thing, we pray that you have mercy on us. We come afresh, we come anew. We reject the label of atheism because we believe you. We believe you exist. It's just the living part that we have failed. Turn our failure into success. In the name of Jesus Christ, every weakness of the flesh, every frailty of the human nature, every habit that has us bound, Father, as we yield to you this afternoon, remove them by fire. Remove them by fire. Let your fire purge us. Let your fire clean us. Let your fire purify us, that you'll be able to look down on us. You'll be able to say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased. Whatever I have done up till now, Daddy. Whatever my brothers and sisters have done up till now, Daddy. Please forgive us. Father, please forgive us. Father, please forgive us. We want to enter July like new people. We want to enter July like people that show forth the glory of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Do something new. Do something fresh. Do something marvelous in every one of our lives. From today, no matter what it takes, may your name be glorified in us. The way we talk, and the way we think, and the way we walk, and the way we do everything. May we consider God first. And I know when we do this, mighty blessings will follow. Thank you for accepting us. It's a new day for us, Lord. It's a new season of walking with God, Lord. May your yes and amen be upon our prayers this afternoon. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And everybody shout, hey! Put your hands together as you take your...